5:30, Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. Call the meeting of the Kootenai Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners to order. Let's see, anyone recording? No? No recording.
Present.
Present is?
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zais.
Commissioner Pisano. Public comment is first order of business. Please, I don't think that mic's turned on yet.
Amy Cates. Gentlemen, I have four questions. The first is the fire department administrative assistant. I wanted to know what her hours are, how many hours she works for us.
Go ahead.
Oh, would you like to hear all four of my questions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, no problem. What her rate of pay is, what hours she works for the Prudential Committee, and I wanted to know if the total of those hours puts her over 20 hours and if she is currently getting health insurance from the district. Those are my questions. Thank you, gentlemen.
I'll go ahead and respond to this. The last meeting, her hours were voted to be increased to 32 hours at the request of Chief Rude. I will have to consult whether or not rate of pay has been posted yet, but it is a salaried position. Work with the Prudential Committee is a separate matter. That was an independent posting by the Prudential Committee. So I understand that she applied for and got that position as well. But her 32 hours do, I believe, entitle her to apply for health insurance. I don't know if she has done that. I'll have to consult as to whether or not that's been posted yet. Any other public comments? No? Next item on the agenda is review and approval of previous meeting minutes. You both had a chance to review the meetings from Tuesday, June 13th. That might be the chief with our packets. Good evening, sir. But we can go ahead. You both had a chance to look at this. Are there any questions or concerns about the minutes?
None for me.
None.
I move that we accept the minutes as presented. Thank
second.
You, Chief. We have a second. All in favor? Pisano, aye.
Conley, aye.
Zais, aye.
Minutes are accepted.
Sorry, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. I'm going to sign this copy of the minutes and give it right back to you so that it can be posted.
You're welcome.
Okay, looks like we now have all the paperwork we need to go over. So with that done, the minutes done, we will proceed to the chief's report. Was it a good rescue call?
Actually, within an hour, we had three of them back to back. So
busy stretch.
Busy afternoon. Yeah. At Center for Lower Health, one of them, the other two here will handle this.
Great.
Medical, 58% were service good intent or automatic fire alarms, administration. We've been working on our software administration issues. So we have traditionally kept track of our fire calls in a software package called Firehouse. We went down back in April, had not gotten put back up, so we restored that last week. That's back up and running. With that up and running, we're able to submit all our 2016 calls to the state as required by law. So we're up to date on reports from the state. This software will allow us to track personal leave. So right now it's semi-handwritten, semi-tracked in Excel spreadsheets, which is really time-consuming. So as we start tracking here, we'll be able to automate reports and track it much easier. So that's the plan with that. This software also integrates with Firehouse, integrates with the TAB, the computer-aided dispatch we have that Center uses. So we will be able to get people to get all the call data. So at the end of the call, everything anybody says is recorded in our records. All the time will be recorded, the address will be recorded, and it'll all be accessible to us. And hopefully, no mistakes in transcribing instead of writing them down three times or three times.
Great.
It also does pre-plans. So some of the commercial properties in town, we can go out and have plans ahead of time, what the outline of the building is, where the hazards are, what the concerns are, and when we go to the call, it will be accessible to us. So part of that is computers in the trucks. So this will integrate with the software package that will allow the operator of the truck to see.
Did you just check to make sure that that's turned on? I think you were speaking loud enough that we got it so far, but I just remembered it. Was it? Green light goes on.
It wasn't. I apologize. So we'll also eventually have computers in the front of the trucks, which will make all this data available at our fingertips. We'll show us where we are. Dispatch will know where our vehicles are, closest vehicles to calls, best routing to calls, and real-time data available to the people in the trucks. So we're working on that right now. Some of that's going to involve some updates and some software licenses, and we're waiting on some pricing on that, and I'll get back to you on that. Other administrative things, we had an officers meeting last week. The officers were very excited about taking on some more responsibility. I've attached a sheet that shows their area responsibilities. So Lieutenant Pouliot is going to be in charge of training, hose, SCBA, and gas meters. Lieutenant McNamara, vehicle maintenance, building and grounds. Lieutenant Lyons is PPE, which is personal protective equipment, power and non-powered equipment and tools. And Lieutenant Amento, radios, communication, vehicle and duty check sheets. So they're committed to putting in more effort in those areas, and they've in the last week shown quite a bit of effort in those areas. So we're excited about that. Training. Chris Dolly is working on setting up some car seat installation classes. We no longer have anybody certified for car seat installation, nor do we have any CPR instructors on staff. So she's working on getting those classes set up and finding out who's interested. She's interested in both of them. And we're finding out who else is interested, and we'll coordinate that. Lieutenant Pouliot is in the process of setting up monthly fire drills and bi-monthly EMS drills starting in September. That's all we have currently on for training. The ComStar report's attached. I don't know if you go over that.
This is the breakdown of the 55 responses?
No, that's the image trend, the call breakdown. If you go two more sheets up, there's an image trend. It says ambulance billing account reconciliation report.
I got it. Thank you.
So June is shown as a little low, I think, because not all of it's been accounted for in June yet, so they're working on that. But the other months are pretty up to date, I believe. That was just printed at the 10th of July. The following page is also a tracking report from ComStar that shows the total charges allowable, billable, collected, and percent collected. And as part of you also asked me to look into collections.
Yes.
So ComStar, and I've got the information you gave to me, I can give it to anybody else that wants it. But ComStar has a company that they contract with called First Financial Resources. They've gone out and looked at all the collections companies and found that this was the most responsive, gave the best deal to their customers, they said 75, they do, ComStar only does ambulance service billing, rescue ambulance service billing, not private companies. 75% of their clients use this service, First Financial Resources, Inc. ComStar does a really good job of collecting money. As a result, this company only ends up collecting 3 to 5% of the billings you give them. So in FY 2016, we only had $30,000 of unpaid bills. So, and 33.3% of those billings go to them as a fee. So at the end of the day, if we were to hire this company, we could potentially make $900 more. Not a lot more money. They also, of the 33, there's 33 people that didn't pay in that year. They end up getting calls, 2 calls a week at their home, 2 calls a month at their place of work. So in my opinion, it's a lot of potential aggravation for $900. So that's where that stands. But 75% of the towns do use this service. And we can pick, we can choose and pick which calls we send. So at the end of the month, we can say anybody that was, any non-resident, if you chose to do that, could go to collections. Mm-hmm. And residents, we could choose not to go to collections. That was one of the things that some of their customers do. So it is an option.
Chief, could you give me, could you give me those numbers again? So,
sure.
So 30, what was it that we didn't collect last year?
We didn't collect, in FY 2016, we didn't collect about $30,000.
Okay, $30,000 we didn't collect, yeah.
That was made up of about 30 people.
Okay, yeah.
So it was about 30 individuals, that, and most of them, 99% of them, I think you said, had no insurance. That's why they didn't pay. They didn't. Sure. They were uninsured people. So of that $30,000 that ComStar was not able to collect, First Financial Resources, on average, collects 3 to 5%.
Oh, that's all?
That's all they collect.
3 to 5%.
That's all they're able to get. Yes, 3 to 5% of the outstanding billing. So if you take that 3 to 5%, and of that 3 to 5%, we only keep 66.6% would be going into our pockets, which ends up being $900. You know, for a big city, it probably makes a lot of sense, but.
So we get 33% of that.
They keep 33, we keep
63. Oh, they get 33, I did back.
Yeah, we keep the 66%. And it's done right through ComStar. It's just another checkbox we check off when we have for their service. It goes into our account just like all their other ambulance billing goes into our account. We just have to sign a contract with First Financial Resources to do that.
But such a contract would not involve an advance fee.
No, there's no, the fee is only what they collect. So they only take 33% of what they collect.
Rick, you want to? Yes. Well, I found the information that we talked about, which is, you know, when did we vote this in, and what was the wording and so forth, and it was pretty vague. I still have that, but basically, my recollection is that it was back in 2006 that the annual meeting, and it says that the commissioners can go ahead and collect ambulance fees.
Send to collection?
No, can determine how to collect it. I can read it.
Okay.
Exactly, if you'd like. Would you like me to read that to you?
No, but if you pull the tape out of the archive, which is the tape of the 2006 meeting, you will hear what the comments were and what people voted on.
Well, I did not do an audio file research. I just did the warrant things. I was unaware that there were audio files available to look at, which I will happily go and do. And there were indeed some comments. I don't remember exactly who was for it and so forth. I can dig it back up if you like, but I'm sure there was comments.
And there was a promise of that, so that's all I can at some point before. I would just feel that as a citizen, before you send anything to collections, that you would really seriously think about putting it into the citizens of the village, because at that time it was very clear that nobody would be put to collections
if they were doing this. If they didn't what? I'm sorry.
Well, that was unclear, that distinction. Well,
This is the first I'm hearing of an audio tape of this meeting. Where would that be, Cindy?
It's located in the clerk.
Okay, I will do that step. No, that's okay. I was unaware that it was recorded.
The annual meetings are always recorded.
Okay.
They do. Okay. The billing company does send if the bills aren't paid after the second bill, I think it's 60 days, they will send to the credit reporting agencies as well. It's part of their process, they do.
Okay, so for clarity, I researched what was voted on, and the warrant or the annual report, the recording of that did say that there was some comments, and it gave what the yeses and noes were, right? It did pass.
The reason it passed was because we wanted to make sure that we were able to get any money we could, but we didn't want people to feel afraid of picking up the phone and making
a call. Oh, no, I'm totally with you. So I will immediately contact Charlie and find that tape if it's available.
I just would feel awful if somebody didn't really made that choice not to call because they already had built out the standing.
Well, I think we're all with you.
Well, this is one of the concerns that we voiced when we first started researching this, that we want discretionary authority to waive, to make accommodation for inability to pay. That was the first thing that I was looking at when I researched their contract. And as you said, Chief, we have some discretion whether or not we would want to refer everyone. We could refer only non-residents. I mean, we have latitude in this, but given the amount of money on the table for it, I don't know that it seems at this time worth our time and effort to pursue it.
In the future, it could be if health insurance changes or, people are no longer required to have health insurance, it could be a different story in the future. But at this point in time, we're talking about $900 potentially in revenue for sending people to collections. So,
do we need a motion on this type of a thing?
I don't believe so. We asked him to research it. He's giving us the report. My inclination is to table it at this point.
I think the short history that I'm in here, we have had some incidents that come up that we've said, it doesn't make any sense to go to collections. So I think the discretion, hang on a second, Amy. The discretion has been shown, right? At least in the experience that I've had. And that's what the... As I understand it, the article was just to give discretion. And I think I hear you loud and clear about, I wouldn't want that either. Sorry, go ahead, Amy.
So, Rick, I would like to suggest we table this for a year. Table this to next June, July, the time frame, and then revisit it at that time. That's my
recommendation. I think it's smart, given the turmoil in terms of health insurance these days, that we not dispose of it, but leave it open and with... the pace of things, I'd even be comfortable saying we'll revisit it in 6 months.
Sure.
I'll make a formal motion that we table this for the time being with the expectation we will revisit the topic in 6 months.
Second.
Discussion?
Do we recognize Amy here? She had her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it.
My question about Chairman Senna was, what is the average cost?
There, it's pretty variable. The chief can probably speak more in more detail to it, but it depends entirely on what has to be done. Procedures that are performed in the ambulance en route can create
a hospital bill. What do you get billed for?
Okay, but what would be the average cost that someone would pay? Is there such a thing, Jim?
Here's fine. My guess, I haven't seen Katuwa's actual rates. I've seen, on Nantucket, I review the average rates for all over the state, and I remember seeing Katuwa's and comms. I believe the average rate is about
$1,000.
I think an advanced life support call is probably closer to $1,200, and a basic life support is probably closer to $600 or $800.
And depending on the kind of insurance the person has and the copays on their insurance, a great deal of that could be covered by insurance, and they would be potentially liable for the copay. Many of these are Medicare-covered cases, so if anybody has extended coverage in Medicare with a supplement. It would get kicked over to that.
I think Medicare and Medicaid are generally close to 50% of call volumes, and they generally pay for a little over $400 is all they pay.
A Medicaid recipient would pay $400?
That's all Medicare and Medicaid would pay to us, yeah. And we wouldn't be able to go after them for the difference, I don't believe. So that's, if we transport a Medicaid or Medicaid customer, we get $400 or $500. Private insurance, we generally get the full amount.
Yeah, but Medicare and Medicaid can set their own rates, and we have to accept it, and the balance is discounted. So we have a motion in front of us to table this for 6 months. We've had a second. Take a vote. All in favor?
May I make one comment before? Yeah. Even though we're tabling it, I will absolutely follow through on doing the research. No, I'm interested now, so I will do that, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
No. It's not a problem. Hopefully Charlie has the file easily accessible.
And that has been our concern from the beginning.
I'm not saying you're not concerned. I just know that none of you were here at that time, so I was just...
Yeah, appreciate that.
It's almost 6 months.
Yeah.
On the vote, Pisano in favor?
Conley in favor?
Zace in favor.
Sorry, I think I kind of jumped ahead into ComStar.
No, that's fine. Okay, Chief, back to you.
Do you want to go with the personnel and the apparatus, or do you want to continue with the old business, or? Sorry, I'm new at this.
Chief,
here.
I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What you had already covered from a responses point of view.
Yes.
58 services, good intent, automatic fire alarms. Do we have any problematic automatic fire alarms? And do we charge people in that situation? So in other words, automatic fire alarms going off a lot?
I honestly don't know. I'll find that out.
I'm just curious. I mean, and or do we charge for false alarms?
I don't know that either. I not that I'm aware of.
I'm just wondering if we're getting constant, false alarms from XYZ address, right?
Yeah.
You know, when does it become anything, if it does? Just curious.
The last place I worked, there was I think it was only a $50 charge after, I think, one or two false alarms that were due to a malfunction. So a system that wasn't maintained or operating properly,
sure.
They would charge, which seemed reasonable after so many. If they're failing to maintain their system and costing the district money, then it makes sense.
Every time the truck goes out, there's danger to the people in the truck. So let's...
Right. I'll do some research and see how often we have repeat false alarms, and I'll double check on whether there's a fee. I don't believe there is, but... I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Good question, though. No, it's a great question.
I'm looking at the warrants. Most of them are familiar, but I don't. Looking for the printout of the expenditure budget.
The actual budget sheet wasn't available. I think Tony had some trouble with the software and wasn't able to print it out.
Okay, that's why I can't see it. Good.
That's why it's not there.
It's
I apologize. It's not. It's not in there. Couldn't get it today.
Okay. These warrants. Let's take things in order. I'll get to that. So that's it. So we go to new business personnel.
So call firefighter T.J. Marks has resigned due to a move away. And the other notable is firefighter paramedic Catherine Holleran is taking her state PAT test tomorrow. She took the practice last week. She's taking the actual test tomorrow. And as soon as we get a pass on that, we'll get her enrolled in the fire academy. I'm not sure. It's probably... There was a class start in 26th of September. I think that's full, so it's probably a October start date. What we'll have that is probably by the end of the week, I think.
Great. She's not wasting any time.
Nope.
Good.
apparatus.
Yeah.
I didn't put that on the notes. Apparatus, the boat, since our last meeting, the boat now is at the dock, at a private dock just to the west of the town dock. The owners of the property have let us keep it there at least for the year. I'm not sure how much long, how, what kind of time frame we're able to use it, that facility, but right now it's worked out really well. We've had a couple calls where it's made a huge difference. I think we had one rescue call. We had a boat with a person in distress, sailboat by himself. I think from time of call to time back at the dock with the patient was like 13 minutes. So that's pretty
nice.
Good. Someone who was in had a pretty good laceration. There was one or two other calls we did with already too. 262 was involved sometime a couple months ago, was rear-ended by another vehicle. We sent that out to get repaired. It came back yesterday, so it was out of service for a day and a half. From now on, I'll be sending out text messages to everybody telling you when vehicles are in or out of service. I didn't do that, and I will make sure that gets, happens in the future. 263, a reserve engine. We've taken it out of service. We used it briefly for a period of time when 265 was being worked on. They had the EMS kit in the back seat, and the CO alarm went off, carbon monoxide alarm. So we found we must have an exhaust leak in the truck that's leaking into the truck. So we're waiting for a mechanic to come fix our exhaust on that. So that's currently out of service. That's all we have for apparatus report right now.
There was a question about how long the ambulance would be out for regular maintenance.
For regular maintenance. Generally, it's we probably get the mechanic comes and works on it here. We've got a guy that has a mobile shop. He comes to us and works on it. I'm not sure the schedule and how often he works on it, but it's probably averages, you know, every other month, and it's probably out of service for a couple hours typically. I don't think it's usually out of service for long periods of time, with the exception of the big mechanical problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of the building, it's not exactly apparatus, but I know we had the engineering survey. Do we have a date for them to do the perk test?
They're doing the perk test by the end of the week.
Yeah.
And good. From that, they should be able to come up with some engineering plans to figure out what we need for a new septic system.
And the outfit that's doing the survey, just to make sure I'm clear on this, they have already outlined a proposal for comprehensive service that they will finalize as a bid once the engineering work is done?
A bid to actually do the work?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of that, actually. I don't know. I know they were going to do the engineering and come up with a set of plans to do the final work. I'm not sure if they plan on bidding on that work. It depends what the proposal is. If it's going to be over $50,000, then we're going to have to go out to bid on it. So I think at this point in time, it kind of depends how it comes in, what they're going to require.
Don't we have to go out to bid even if it's...
Under $50,000, we can get solicited three written quotes, and I think that's... I'll double-check again, but I'm pretty sure that's adequate
for
that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I meant.
Over $50,000, we have to go out to bid. I hope
right.
It comes in under $50,000. That would make life a lot easier for us. But I'm not confident that's going
to
happen.
To that point, the this outfit, I'm just trying to remember when it was. I think it was in March. Talked about a package of service which would include removing the old tank when they had to tear up the driveway, do the new installation, run the gas line, and do the repaving, and it would be a comprehensive package. That I think those are all the major elements
right.
That will need to be done. If it is simpler in bidding, we have the approval for the septic. When I presented that at meeting, we talked about all those services. I think we can break some of those out if it makes a difference at getting it in under.
No, it's all got to be, if it's kind of bid splitting, if we bid parts separately, the whole job has to be considered as a whole, I guess, to be under the $50,000, I believe. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure we can't split out, say, the paving and other things. It's all part of the job, I think.
Well, the question that I had was about removal of the tank and running of the gas line, because that's not a normal...
The gas line might be different, yeah. I'm not... That's possible. That could be a different job, but...
Let's look into it.
I'll look into it. I'm not aware of that conversation or that, but I'll find out about that. As far as I know, we just hired this company due to the design. I didn't realize we had talks with them to do anything other than that.
We had been looking for bids previously, and they came in and outlined that as the package and said they couldn't commit to any numbers until there was the engineering survey.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming they're going to want to submit a final bid when they have the engineering.
Yeah, the more bids we can get, the better. The more competitive and better price we'll get.
Right. Okay. Okay. And the last item, there's nothing else under apparatus. Last item are the warrants. And I'm recognizing a lot of these are not ones that still haven't been signed, are they? Because I think I signed a number of these already.
I believe those are all signed. I think they're all signed warrants.
Right.
I have a question on the warrants.
Mm-hmm.
So on page one of the warrants,
mm-hmm.
am I reading correctly, and I did the math, between Inspector General and open meeting law complaints, we have $1,236 worth of legal bills, fees, for open meeting law complaints in June?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was reading that correctly.
But there are actually more.
There's more?
Yes.
Giuliano and Brett, that's not his fire chief.
Chris was putting together a list today of the legal costs and categorizing them into the different categories.
Okay. Did you see some more, Rick, in there, or looked like they were just on the first warrant?
I thought I had seen some more on the second page.
I don't see anything.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the... It's Gargiulo, but it's a different matter.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Significant amount of cost to the village. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Then I've covered all the paper in my folder. Anything else, Chief?
No, nothing else.
I don't think so, no.
Dan?
Nope.
Then 6:05, move we adjourn.
Second?
In favor? Zano?
Connolly?
Zace?
Out of here.
I'm not.